Blog Talk Radio.
This is the first time in our history that this ceremony has been held, as you've been told, on this west front of the Capitol. Standing here, one faces a magnificent vista opening up on this city's special beauty and history. At the end of this open mall are those shrines to the giants on whose shoulders we stand. Directly in front of me, a monument to a monumental man, George Washington, father of our country. A man of humility who came to greatness reluctantly. He led America out of revolutionary victory into infant nationhood. Off to one side, the stately memorial to Thomas Jefferson, a Declaration of Independence flames with his eloquence. And then beyond the reflecting pool, the dignified columns of the Lincoln Memorial. Whoever would understand in his heart the meaning of America will find it in the life of Abraham Lincoln. Beyond those monuments to heroism, is the Potomac River, and on the far shore, the sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David. They add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small town barber shop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. The crisis we're facing today does not require of us the kind of sacrifice that Martin Treptow and so many thousands of others were called upon to make. It does require, however, our best effort and our willingness to believe in ourselves and to believe in our capacity to perform great deeds, to believe that together, with God's help, we can and will resolve the problems which now confront us. And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans. God bless you and thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome, listeners, to CD on the Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. As always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come and learn with us. We have years and years worth of really resources for anyone that's trying to understand what is going on today, be it in education, be it in our military. And it's just been such a privilege to have so many experts share their valuable time with us and be a resource for those trying to figure out what's happening to this country. But as always, we like to start this with a tradition of doing what the founders did. And so I'm going to turn this over to our dear friend, Mrs. Barbara Moore. Hi, Ms. Barbara.
Hi there, Diana. Thank you so much. And let's start with we're going to be talking about education and freedom and the principles of freedom and the purpose of education and so forth. But I thought I'd start with a quote by Teddy Roosevelt. And it's very appropriate as we're looking at the Common Core system here in the United States and throughout the world, and also looking back to Nazi Germany and the education system under Adolf Hitler. But Teddy Roosevelt said, to educate a man in mind and not in morals is to educate a menace to society. That's what was created under the totalitarian system of Nazi Germany, and that's what will be created under the Common Core system in the United States and throughout the world. Menaces to society. Morals have to be grounded in a biblical foundation. There are no true morals without that biblical foundation. The morals spring from the biblical foundation. And without that, in educating without that, truly, we'll be creating monsters, menaces to society, much like what we saw in Nazi Germany in World War II. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, Father, we see in your word, Lord, that you tell us to train up a child in the way he should go. And that is your way, Father, that we're to train our children in your way. And Father, apart from that, they're not trained rightly. And Father, we're getting further and further away from your way in our education system. And Father, our longing is to have our country turn back to you, Father, to have the American people turn back to you, Lord, so that we will once again be that city on a hill shining brightly for the world to see that your ways are the right ways and that they too can come to know you and your ways and be cities on a hill as well. You desire that for all people, Lord. And we do too. We agree with you, O God. And so that is our prayer, Father, that we will turn back to you, Father. Grant us the gift of repentance, Lord, that we will truly see our sinfulness, O Lord, in the light of your holiness, Father. And Father, that we will, as we see our own sinfulness, that we will turn to you with all our hearts, minds, souls, strength. And Father, that we will look to our Savior, Jesus Christ, to be transformed by you, O God, and conformed to his image, the image of Jesus Christ. That we will receive him, Father. For your word tells us, as many as receive him, Jesus Christ, to them gave you power to become the sons of God. So, Father, we pray that for our people, Father, here in this country. And, Father, for those who are already Christians, who love you and serve you, Lord. Father, you tell us in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that we are to seek you, to seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, to surrender everything to you, O God, and that you will hear our prayers and you will heal our land. So, Father, we bring all this before you. We ask it in the name of Jesus, that name above all names, that name upon which every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, the name of Jesus. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Wow, thank you, Mrs. Barbara. And listeners, if you're new to listening to us, Mrs. Barbara Moore is a former teacher. She taught in a private school, and the children that she taught went on to really serve this country, want to serve this country, want to love this country. And I love what Ms. Barbara says, the more you know about history, his story, the more you will love God. And that's personally true for me, Ms. Barbara. I can attest to that, because I think the more you do know about God's goodness in your life and realize how many times he has plucked you out of the miry pit.
That's
you know,
right. That's right.
It's just really overwhelming to know that there is a God. There is only one God, but that one God cares for little you and me. And tonight we were supposed to have Mrs. Linda Murphy, and listeners, you can go to www.cityonthehill.tv. Miss Linda will be on again, but that is our pod site. You click on the Raising the Flag Over Iwo Jima, and it will link to our pod site, and there's many, many podcasts where Miss Linda Murphy has been on with us. She exposed the Comprehensive Counseling Guidance in Alabama, which is part of the Unified Learning Support System, to make kids college and career ready. And unfortunately, it is now part of this National Reauthorization Plan of No Child Left Behind, Elementary Secondary Education Act. So we were wanting Ms. Linda to share with you more information on the latest, but she's not able to come on. She will be back on another night. So, but tonight, we are going to kind of just, I think, have a reset moment as to, you know, for you, the parent that may be very disgusted, maybe feeling very helpless because the world is in such a turmoil. And you who want to defend your child, you know, you feel so helpless. Maybe you're one that, and, you know, you're having to put them in public school. And you're just really, you know, every day you're more worried. But we're hoping that you can remember history along with us. And we're going to try to have some food for thought that we hope will, at the end of this session tonight, will make you feel very strong, very strong. And with that in mind, Ms. Barbara, how do you want to start this?
Well, when you mentioned the reauthorization of the ESEA, the reauthorization, the authorization was given in 1965 under Lyndon Baines Johnson, and that was the beginning of the decline in a very rapid way. Of American education with that act. There were a lot of different laws passed under the extremely liberal Lyndon Baines Johnson, and that was among the worst. And so we can look back and we can see all the changes. We can see the decline in the test scores. We can see the crazy up until that point, although there had been some changes, okay, that was the place where we just fell off the cliff in education. And there, you know, and all sorts of experiments began in American education from that point. And so to reauthorize this, this bill that has 600 to 800 pages or more, really codifies Common Core, does it not? In that reauthorization,
I think that's what I've heard somebody say. And Ms. Barbara, I just, just thinking about the education system, I read an article, it made sense, it's like a light bulb. You know how, you know, everything these days is such a crisis, right? And, you know, we better take advantage of a crisis. We've heard that before, haven't we? And we were Obamacare. And we were given Obamacore, Common Core. And we're really starting to see that now. I hope more people realize that. We have been given a manufactured crisis because Joan Landis, one of our experts to come on an era, the mental health expert, she said, you know, we are being touted as really, you know, behind everybody. But yet, the PISA test that they used to proclaim that we're behind, when, you know, America was, at its zenith, America was not in the top. You know, so it does not correlate that, you know, that being number one in the PISA test means you're number one in the world. And that's not the way it works. And the article, too, had said, you know, this is a manufactured crisis because really every state was like an experiment. And there were some states that was really doing well. And really, Ms. Barbara, as you have pointed out and Ms. Stephanie Bell has pointed out, even Alabama was doing very well
Alabama,
in some of the programs.
Before Common Core, Alabama was the most improved state in reading, I know in reading, because of the reading initiative of by the way, Eagle Forum and Uni Smith were very instrumental in kind of guiding that reading initiative. But it was a it was phonics-based reading initiative. And we had made leaps and bounds improvement in our test scores at more than any other state. And there were people, educators from other states, traveling to Alabama to learn about it so they could take it to their states as well. It was that notable. It was that phenomenal that other people were traveling from other states to Alabama to find out about this reading initiative that was making such a dramatic difference in our state. But it's worthwhile to point out that that was not the look-say method. That was not the whole word method. That was not the whole language method of reading. It was a return to the traditional way to read with a phonetic language, which English is a phonetic language, and that's with a systematic, intensive instruction, direct instruction in phonics. And that's what made the dramatic difference. It was a return to traditional education. We had been away from traditional education in reading, not only in Alabama, but all over the country. And with that whole language, whole word method, there were just vast numbers of students who were not learning to read. The brightest students could pretty much figure out, and they might have even, you know, done a little study of phonics on their own, you know. But most of the children were left behind, truly left behind, left in the dust. By 1983 or 84, we were graduating almost a million students a year who could not read their diplomas. That was under the whole language, whole word methodology system. And so it took a return to traditional systematic, intensive, direct instruction by the teacher in phonics to make that change and improvement in Alabama education. And I'm so grateful for it. But now that's no longer being used. We have now we have Common Core with the crazy map and the cold read, reading that is frustrating.
I do remember, because I remember being in the PTA, and I remember that teachers, that was one of the things that was brought up, and I remembered the money was allowed to go flow into trying that back, because they were wanting phonics back. I remember the start of that. And lo and behold, like you said, it just really took off, and it did well. But, you know, the teachers knew that. That, you know,
yeah.
And wanted to try that. I remember
the older
teachers. That.
The older teachers knew that. The younger teachers that were coming through the colleges of education, they were being told that they were taught that phonics was old fashioned, and it was, I forget, they made fun of it. A lot of it was made fun of by professors, and as it was not modern like the look say whole language, whole word.
Wow.
But yeah,
well, I love that you brought that up because I do remember when they started using that, because I remember in our particular locale that it was brought up and we said, let's fund it, let's try it. So that was might have been the beginning of that reusing it again, because that was really interesting. But that was so good. And now, Ms. Barbara, here we are. I just saw an article, Huntsville. They are losing a lot of their teachers, and it's kind of sad that North Alabama, I hear that South Alabama is fixing to get a superintendent from North Alabama that loves Common Core. So that's so sad that the people, unfortunately, that could hire was not listening, that Common Core is not going to make our kids smarter. It's going to make them, I hate to say it, dumber. But and parents, you know that. A lot of you that are listening, you probably research quite a bit, so you know that. But this fight that we're having this week, the reauthorization, we're so grateful, Ms. Barbara. I don't know if you saw, but Rand Paul came out, and he's not for the Senate Bill 1177 that would reauthorize. He came out with an article. I don't know if you have a chance. So I'm praying others will still. I think Rand Paul, you know, he never should have approved it out of committee. And I don't know how they twisted his arm to do it. But, you know, hey, I'm glad he learned. I'm glad he's got an article. Now, I just hope the rest of it, them will follow through, and that there will not be a majority that will pass that. But you know, that was one of the things we wanted to talk to Linda about tonight, was really the warning of what is going to be in that Senate 1177 bill, which is something that we in Alabama got a really close look. And Ms. Barbara, as a teacher, you were, and as a history teacher, you were so appalled, because, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, and this has been done before.
Well, absolutely. It's been done before. It's what you have here is a shift. Well, it's a dramatic shift. It's more than a shift, but it is a shift away from parental authority to government authority, and it's not even local authority, where, you know, local boards are elected by the people in the community and accountable to them. But the authority is, you know, federal authority, national authority, which is, by the way, unconstitutional. We still have the 10th Amendment, where it says everything, anything that is not specifically listed in the United States Constitution under the authority of the national government, that there is no authority for anything beyond what is specifically listed, that the states and the people, respectively, they have authority over anything that's not listed in the United States Constitution. It is so clear, Diana, and it is so elementary, and yet we have a bill before the United States Congress regarding education. They have no authority over it, according to the Constitution. But they're not following the Constitution. They're taking total authority over education. And so the bill is filled with all the authority that they have over education. And, you know, we could talk about, do you want to talk about different aspects of and I don't have the bill in front of me. Do you?
Well, I think I'd like to talk about one of the things that you just pointed out, Ms. Barbara, which is they lack the authority, but that yet they're plunging ahead anyway. And it's so bad that they've even now went into policing and will be policing the thoughts of children because they're introducing, trying to add into it, an Al Franken bill, a Non-Discrimination Act bill, supposedly anti-bullying because the LGBT came out with a report that says, you know, a lot of LGBT gays, you know, commit suicide. The percentage is so high, we've got to do something about it. And Ms. Barbara, you know, I'm thinking, you know, evil is everywhere. And so they're trying to see if they can stop that. What do you think about that kind of process that they're trying to do?
Well, you accurately described it as thought police. Now, bullying has existed from the time, at the beginning of time. You know, Cain bullied Abel, you know. I mean, bullying has always gone on. But the difference between what we're seeing in this Elementary and Secondary Education Act regarding the non-discrimination, what was added by Franken. Okay, no L. Anyway, bullying, teachers have always, if bullying goes on in the classroom, teachers deal with it. They are equipped to deal with it. You have classroom discipline. You have, if it happens on the playground, there are teachers there to deal with it. The school has a principal. There are rules and regulations that everyone is subject to. All the students are subject to these, and bullying has never been allowed. There's punishment for bullying, and whether somebody is being bullied because they're effeminate, or whether someone is being bullied because they're small in size, or they might have a specific handicap, that's just, it's cruel. Bullying is cruel, and it's not allowed. And teachers and principals have always dealt with it throughout history. So, you know, to give special because of one's sexual orientation to elevate them above others being bullied is wrong. Bullying is wrong, no matter who it's done to. So to place these people in a special category of protection is wrong. It's just plain wrong. But, you know, they're trying to do it, and right now it seems like there are many who are jumping on that bandwagon without any thought, without thinking it through, without looking at the possible ramifications of this. And also, let me also say that there is a small minority, a minuscule minority of homosexuals, of homosexual children, a very small percentage. I think in the general population, it's less than 3%. Less than 3%. So you're going to put a clause in this education bill for something that should be handled routinely in a classroom or in a school by the teacher and the principal, and then even, you know, for such a small, to single out that tiny minority and elevate them above the others who are being bullied. It's wrong. It's just plain wrong. What are your thoughts?
Well, Ms. Barbara, there was, I'm trying to find what somebody, a senator had brought it up. She was reading about Al Franken's bill, and what she said was, you know, it will bring the Department of Education and the court system into vindicating these gay students, you know, right. And I'm thinking to myself, has insanity took over? I mean, if, you know, we already see what's going on with the Christian baker. And so now, I mean, you're going to see the court system going after students in school and their family.
Yeah.
I mean, I just hope and pray that Congress would have enough sense. And I think we still have, you know, a lot of good senators in there that I'm just praying will speak up and say, no, we draw the line here. You know, we don't want to put, like you said, a special group. You know, all bullying, you know, should be, you know, treated. And they do. There's already rules for that. We have done that. Like you said, you know, it's nothing new under the sun. But we know what's going to happen if you put that special position. It will turn around. And unfortunately, it is bullying somebody else. And it's thought police. And, you know, that's crazy. But I just love the fact, though, Ms. Barbara, when you look at the problems we have and you remember the foundation of this nation, and I was telling you earlier, I heard a story about a couple that was had ministered to a nation, I think it was Haiti, and that there was something that happened where a witch doctor or person came in there and, like, did a curse on the wife, and that it did affect them. It affected their marriage, and they were able to look at it about a year later and see where their problem starting. And one of the things that I think modern people forget is there is a heaven and hell, and that there is good and evil. You know, I mean, in America, you don't even have to really imagine angelic beings, demonic beings, because you can pretty much see the things happening. Evil's going on, and you can see it. But for some reason, I think there is a number of population that, well, unfortunately, they've forgotten that there is God. They've forgotten that this nation was founded on the Word of God, that they've forgotten that there is a supernatural realm, that there is a place that hears our prayer, that there's a God that hears our prayer, and they've forgotten that the start of this nation was really humble men that ask God to help them, and what a difference it made. And I really think for America to get right, it's like what somebody said in the, I think I've seen posting, America needs to get down on its knees and start praying again for Almighty God, inviting Almighty God to help them.
Yes, we do. And at the same time, we need to act, and we need to take action where God has been banned from our hallways and our schools, you know. You know, we need to act to put right policies back, to invite God back into our lives, not only our personal lives, but into our public life as well. See, that was what the Founding Fathers did. It wasn't just that they were personal, that they had a personal faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, they did. And because they did, because they had that inward change that Jesus, that he does within us when he comes to dwell in us, when we ask him to come into our lives and receive him into our lives. So there's an inward change. As a result of that inward change, we change our world around us, and that's what the Founding Fathers did. It was because of their Christian faith that they conformed the world around them to that faith, so that when they formed this government in 1787, what they constructed there, what they built there, it was built from godly principles, from biblical principles, and there's not one thing in the seven articles of the United States Constitution or the preamble that is not in harmony with God's word. Now, the Constitution, book of the Bible, the chapter and the verse, And that's why you have these people say, well, you know, there's nothing in the Constitution from the Bible. Well, that they can say that because they don't know the Bible. If you know the Bible, you will recognize all the principles there. For example, the purposes listed in the preamble to the Constitution, those are all in accordance with the Word of God, that we want peace within our borders, domestic tranquility. That's we authorize the government to make sure that we have domestic tranquility. We give them the power to do that. And that's biblical, that we have peace within our borders, that we are a sovereign nation. You know, that's all biblical. The Lord created nations at the Tower of Babel when he dispersed the people and confused their language. And that was the beginning of nations. And that's biblical, that we are a nation. You know, the three branches of government, because man is sinful and subject to temptation, to ambition, to avarice, to greed, to power mongering. It's temptation to do that. So there was not one branch of government that would have all the power. Thus, it was separated into three branches. All three have different functions. And they have checks and balances on one another so that not one of them will become tyrannical, all too powerful. That's biblical, to restrict the power. So anyway, so the Founding Fathers, they took...
But Robert?
Yes.
Would you say they acknowledged God in all their ways?
Absolutely, in all their ways, including constructing a government. It's there. It's there, and it's there for everyone to see. Let me give you another example. In Article 1, Section 8, the Founding Fathers wisely promoted the knowledge and science, and because they recognized that human beings are created by God, for God, with capabilities and talents and gifts, because he created us to be like him, creative, able to create from what he's placed here on this earth, and able to give us knowledge of witty inventions in our minds. He's able to instruct us and allow us to discover the secrets that he's placed here in this earth, you know. But because that we are fearfully and wonderfully created by God in his image and likeness, that the Founding Fathers put that section in the Constitution that for patents and copyrights. Why? Because man and human beings are created by God to create and produce and accomplish and succeed and do incredible things. You know, so that's in the Constitution, that those inventions would be protected by law. So the creator, the inventor of them, could profit from them and produce them and profit from them. And what happened then? You create jobs from that. Anytime you're going to produce a product, you're going to need people to work and produce them. So, you know, jobs were created. We became the most productive nation in the history of the world, a wonder to the world, you know. But it all goes back to the Founding Fathers knew God. They knew God, and they wanted to do things his way. And they asked him, and they sought him, and they obeyed him. And
oh, yes. And Ms. Barbara, I just, you know, again, I think that is, you know, I'm hearing you, and you're getting so excited about that. But I think, to simply put, they were humble enough to know that they had need of God, and they wanted him there. They invited him to be a part of forming their nation. They asked him to be a part of forming their constitution. They asked him to be a part of really everything. And look at what God did. There was no nation like it. You know, we became the most powerful nation. And so much talent, so much creativity. Even today, and I remember Joan Landis says, you know, there's something about the creativity here in America that, you know, the Chinese says, you know, I don't think we'll have a Steve Jobs for a long, long time, because they have not had that history of being such free thinkers. But now they may be catching up really fast because they're copying a lot of our stuff. So.
Well, no, they're just stealing it. Yeah, they're just stealing it because, you know, they are a godless nation of thieves. I'm sorry, they are. I mean, you know, they have been stealing our innovations, our ideas.
But Ms. Barbara, too, I think, you know, I kind of meandered a little bit. I was talking about Haiti, and I guess I need to correct myself. When I mentioned Haiti, I was really struck by what the couple was talking about when they were ministering in Haiti, that the wife was so struck by the poverty, you know, and that's what you see in a lot of countries, such abject poverty. And it's almost like she felt like, well, God is maybe not a good God, because how could he allow this? And when she was talking about it, the thought that came into my mind, well, why is it that America is different, you know, from a Haiti and others like that? And I was thinking, you know, I think it's something as simple as God was invited to form their nation. Humble man asked God, and God being God, when he gives you a gift, right, Ms. Barbara, it's the best. And they got the best.
It is the
country.
Best. Yeah, they did. They did invite him and seek him and followed him and obeyed him. But you know, the question of the poverty and the difference, this is the difference. God would that every man prosper, even as his soul prospers, the Bible says. But it comes down to thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet. The founding fathers put safeguards for property rights in the Constitution. A man shall not be deprived of his life, liberty, or property without due process. So property, and that is a very key part. In other places of the world, Haiti, Mexico, I've read the Mexican Constitution. Well, the government owns everything in Mexico. You know, the people have no right to property whatsoever, and therefore they cannot have upward mobility. That was huge in this country. The upward mobility that Americans have enjoyed from the time of the beginning of this nation is because of the right of property, and that's a recognition. It is a recognition of God's principles, and they are throughout the Bible, the right of property throughout the Bible. You remember wicked King Ahab wanted the vineyard what's his name?
I think I'm talking about. Yeah. His neighbor.
Well, anyway, he had a vineyard next door to the king's property. Well, the king wanted his property, and he couldn't have it. The man refused to sell. He said, no, this is my heritage. This land, this property is my heritage. And there was no way that the king could legally get that land. Why? Because of the right the man had to his property, because that is biblical. That was in the nation of Israel. Now we see the rest of the story. The king had to have him killed, and Jezebel was the one who had him killed, and so that his property could be confiscated. But it could not legally be done. And you know, so we see throughout Scripture the right of property has to be, we establish a government to protect our God-given right to acquire property, to possess property, and to dispose of property as we so, as we see fit. So that is the, that is the key to the difference that you see throughout the world. Where the right of property is protected, there will be prosperity and a high standard of living. Where the right of property does not exist, you have abject poverty, pitiful poverty.
Now, Ms. Barbara,
it's the difference,
you know,
between doing God's way or man's way.
And you know, you just remind me of something that, you know, you've taught me before, was at the beginning of this nation. You know, the right of property is really, you know, capitalism. I mean, you have a right to ownership. And
capital.
But, you know, you
have
remind
a right
us,
to capital.
Right.
Yeah.
And you have reminded us, you know, and taught us. And, you know, we were, folks, we were, God opened the door for us to be able to go to the original Williamstown. And Ms. Barbara, one of the things that, you know, I love about you is the fact that, you know, you just make history so come alive. And history is important so we can remember from our past and learn from our mistakes and not repeat them. So really what we have nowadays is really the people that are so smart and they want to be so fair that they're really wanting socialism, communism, whatever you want to call it, in this nation,
right.
and there's nothing new under the sun, because it was tried in the very beginning, and it was abject fail. It was a failure. So if you don't mind, share that with the listeners. We have had it before in this nation.
Well, we have at the very beginning, you know, the pilgrims tried it, and it failed. And if anyone could have made it succeed, it would have been these godly people who left the comfort of civilization and took, uprooted their lives, their children, their families, and came to a savage wilderness in order to be able to honor God and teach their children rightly and not have their children corrupted by the world. And so, I mean, if anyone could have made communism work, holding things in common, it would have been the pilgrims. But the fact is that when you have a common store of supplies, that it's held in common, okay, and it doesn't matter if you work or don't work, you still get your portion, then you're going to have some slackers and you're going to have some workers. And if the system continues, you're going to have fewer and fewer workers and more slackers. And that's what happened, even with these godly people. And so they had to let that go and reject it. And they did. They saw very quickly. And see, you know, they had to pay back. And they did so after they began to have their own piece of land and work the land and produce and be able to enjoy the fruits of their labor. But they also had to pay back those who financed their voyage and financed their settlement. And they did so within 7 years after they were able to protect their right of property. And so, you know,
wow.
It was tried and it was failed. It's failed everywhere it's been tried. Even communist China has been moving toward more. They don't have their property protected as we do, but they are getting more economic freedom in China, but it's not going to produce the same result because of the totalitarian government.
Wow, Ms. Barbara. Nothing new under the sun. And Ms. Barbara, you know, these people that are making these policies, I mean, it's not that they're stupid, but I think it is really about, I hate to say it, it's about that other side of man that wants control, wants power. And unfortunately, we are seeing that played out, and it is now, you know, a part of this common core system where if we're not careful, there will be no history of what we're talking about taught in our schools, and that future generations will not even realize that they were ever free. You know, if the people that's in power, that's trying to force Common Core down the throats of every state gets their way, that will be the end game, is that they will forget, the younger generation, the younger and younger generation will not ever know the difference. And I don't think that's what all the parents that are listening to us want. If anything, we want better for our children. And unfortunately, what was it that somebody said? We are at that point where it's, instead of giving better to our children, they're going to get less than what we've had. We're starting to go backwards, and that's a sad state of affairs. But we want you to take hope, because Ms. Barbara, just like at the beginning of this nation, I think that's where we've come back. I almost feel like we're revisiting the Mayflower. In that, you know, I hear you tell, you have told me the story of the parents.
Are you saying we're in a savage wilderness?
Well, we're in Amsterdam. Let's say we're in Amsterdam, and the children are being raised, you know, not in the training
corrupted.
And admonition of the Lord. They're being corrupted. And so those parents said, you know, I am willing to brave the unknown world, the unknown waters. I'm even willing to face death than to stay here. And in essence, Ms. Barbara, they were concerned more about the soul of their children than the physical. Were they not?
Absolutely.
I mean, for them to know that they may never make it home.
Yeah, I mean, you know, an ocean voyage, such as it was then, very dangerous, very dangerous. And then, of course, when they set sail, was at the most dangerous time of the year. And they were boarded on that small ship. They were supposed to be taking two ships, and one was woefully inadequate for the number of people. You know, the original plan was two ships, but one ship was was not able to sail. And so you know, I mean, dangers for the body, but they were intent upon saving their children's souls, and thought it was absolutely necessary to get away from the corruption to do so.
And I think, Ms. Barbara, we're at that stage where parents are very concerned. You know, parents that want to train the children in the training and admonition of the Lord are going to be forced to watch their children be trained the other way. And I think it's good for us to remember where they found their help, where they found their strength. And it was very dark, and we're like that. We're watching Senate Bill 1177, right, Ms. Barbara? And we're really not knowing which way it's going to go. But I think this is a good place to remember that God is sovereign, and what God is able to do when we ask him for help, like the founders did, the pilgrims did, like those on the Mayflower that were, you know, wanting to really save their families. You know, they prayed, and it made all the difference. It wasn't about being good enough, great enough, powerful enough, having enough money, but it was really about who do you put your trust in, right, Ms. Barbara? Who do you want to put your faith and trust in?
That's right. And, Diana, before you close us in prayer tonight, I'd just like to remind everyone, to think about, as you know, many parents are listening. As a parent, as parents, we desire the very best for our children. We are for our children. We are not against our children. We desire good things for our children. And that's, and when we pray, we need to remember that God, He is for our children. He is for us, not against us. He desires, even more than we do, He desires that our children be taught and trained and nurtured, and so that they'll be able to thrive and flourish and grow and do great things with Him, you know. And so He desires this, and we just want to come in agreement with Him, because this is His desire, and we are His people, and we want our desires to be His desires, right?
Oh, right, Miss Barbara. And too, I'm reminded that, you know, where we're at is really based on a lot of people's sacrifices, right? Who is it wrong,
yes,
regular, you know, whose shoulders we stand. And really, I think the thing that stands out with America for me is this is a nation whose God is the Lord. We know where our help comes from. I heard that just before the show, Ms. Barb, about David. David knew where his help comes from. We know where our help comes from. But as a nation, unfortunately, we have a president that no longer, you know, sees it fit to have a National Day of Prayer. But we can still have our National Day of Prayer. You know, this is maybe not even a day. It's a daily. We need to daily join.
Yeah,
in
that's right.
Because we are in that time that the children are in trouble. I know my name's written in heaven. I'm pretty, you know, I thank God for the blessed assurance. But you know, we want generations, you know, that's coming down to have their names written in heaven. And I do believe that the enemy is wanting to make a soul harvest. And it's unfortunate that he's going through an education system that was intended, the beginning of it was for children to be able to compare the Word of God with what is being allowed to be passed in their government. So the training really was so that children could understand the Word of God and compare it. What's going on around, and we have come a long way from that first act, right? Old Deluder Satan Act, Miss Barbara. But here we are. That was from parents who knew that the child needs to learn the truth, that Satan is a deluder, and folks, we're there again, and so we can come against this. We can come against all that they're trying to do, but it takes the age-old process that really has not failed, and that is asking God, you know, to be Lord of everything. Acknowledge Him in all our ways, including politics. You know, if you're one of those that thinks, oh, you know, we shouldn't talk about these things, you know, they're political, I think you're probably going to have
Diana,
a pass with that.
I would say especially politics. Not just including politics, but especially politics, because the decisions that are made, the political decisions that are made, affect the entire population of this country, affect all families, all people, for good or for evil. So, you know, especially politics, especially government.
Oh, yes, Ms. Barbara. I'm so proud of the Alabama Baptist resolution that did stand against Common Core and the Comprehensive Counseling Guidance. And I would ask you if you would please show it to your pastor and tell them we need to inform parents. You know, we need to tell them what's going on with Common Core so that their parents would know how to defend their child. You know, I love the fact that Ms. Barbara, God does. You know, when you ask them specifically, I love it. You know, with my prayer journal, I ask for specific things. And it's like He can point to me and say, look at what I did for you, you know?
very specific. And so we want to really be able to ask God specifically to help us in this. And I believe he will do it. But you need to be proactive. Occupy until he comes, right, Miss Barbara? And this hill called Common Core, we need to really overtake that hill. This is against what you want for your child. You want the very best for your child. And with God's help, all things are possible. So with that in mind, Miss Barbara, I guess I need to close in prayer. Do you have one more thing maybe that you can say in closing?
No, except, well,
go ahead.
Let me just say that our God is a God of all hope. Our God is a God of all encouragement, and he desires good things for all of us, and especially for the children. So it's with that confidence in him that we go to him in prayer.
Robin, I love Psalm 121. It was mentioned today. I heard it just before we came on the show. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So we want to just ask God. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you are God. We thank you that nothing is hard for you. We thank you, Lord, that you are our help. Our help comes from you. And, Lord, just as you opened heaven and earth and answered the prayers, Lord, of parents that came to this nation so that their children, Lord, could be trained your way. And, Lord, what a difference. Lord, they formed a constitution unlike any other nations, Lord. And it has been such a success that, Lord, it has blessed not just the great United States of America, but other nations as well. It is such a system that showed people that we can also serve you by serving others. As Ms. Barbara reminds, Lord, there's no other nation that gives as much as these United States, Lord, as far as mission and all sorts of different things together, Lord. We give so much, and it's because you live in our hearts, Lord, nations, so that we have a testimony to the whole world that, Lord, that you hear the prayers of humble men, and it makes all the difference. We ask, Lord, that you save our children and grandchildren, that you would save them from this mindset, Lord, that would pervert them, that would lead them away from you and your ways. We ask, Lord, that you open the minds of our senators, our legislators, our governors, Lord Heavenly Father, Obama administration, that they would stop trying to force this indoctrination, trying to force this Common Core State Standards Initiative and this Senate Bill 1177 upon your people, upon the citizens of this nation. And Heavenly Father, we ask you for help and mercy, Lord, during these times. And we ask that you empower the parents, Lord, with supernatural wisdom, that they will act according to your will. And Heavenly Father, that it may start with them praying for their children every day. And Lord, you said to pray without ceasing. So, Lord, help us to remember that, Lord, you hear our prayers and that you are so full of grace to even answer the prayers of the lowly men and women who came here. And it has been such a blessing to all our families. We thank you, Lord, and we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Diana. And it's been a good evening. I've enjoyed our conversation and this opportunity that the Lord has given us to talk about these important matters. And listeners, we thank you for being with us, and may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you, and may God bless America. Thank you for being with us at City on a Hill Radio Show. Good night.